You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for January 6, 2008.
There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fuck, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures, say what you're
saying. Alright, so this is the Cinemaniacs show, the beta edition for January 5th, 2008.
Been in beta for 6 months now.
No, this is our first beta. It was alpha before.
We're actually in beta.
We're in beta.
So what does this mean? We actually have to be good now?
Step it up a notch. Anyways, on this week's show...
Speaking of the F-bomb we just dropped, is there cussing in the beta?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Are you going to cuss?
No.
Come on.
Fuck yeah.
Come on, give us a good F-bomb right now. Come on, Paul.
F-bomb.
Bastard. Queer.
It wasn't even a good one, I don't think.
No, it was pretty pathetic.
Indeed.
That was your, like, AM morning radio F-bomb. And now...
But in this week's show, in our further attempts to convert John into a good movie watcher, we're going to be reviewing Old Boy. We finally got him to see. And all of us, with the exception of Jeff, just saw Bullet for the first time. As well as talk about some Blu-ray news, a couple websites, and what's coming out this week.
Sounds like fun.
So, for starters, we can get started with their Old Boy. Now, for those of you who haven't seen Old Boy, it came out in 2003. And if you've seen it, if you've heard about it, you've probably seen it and you've loved it. John had not heard about it, other than us ranting and raving about it.
I never heard of it until last week when you were talking about it.
But this is... the second in the Vengeance trilogy by Park Chan-wook, who also co-wrote it. He was the director. It won the Grand Prix Award at the Cannes Film Festival in 2004.
Which we should find out what that means and how prestigious that actually is.
I think that's just second to the Palme d'Or.
Oh. Yeah.
But you could look that up.
Palme d'Or, by the way.
Oh, sorry. I didn't take French class like some Bonanza students did.
That's right.
Clark County education.
3.5 years of French and... all of a sudden, you know, Mr. International.
What does that even mean?
Oh, I don't know. I just know how it's pronounced.
Palme d'Or?
Palme d'Or. It's the door of the palm.
Is that related to the screen door?
That's right.
Stop spinning on.
Look at, whoa. Screen door. I'm so proud.
Well,
there's going to be a lot of editing in post. Don't worry, John.
Okay, good. I'm trying to find... anything about the Grand Prix on IMDb, it's not there, so I'm going to go somewhere else.
This was based on a manga, which I didn't know, that was, which is like a Japanese comic book, and it...
The movie was?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
After being in prison for 15 years in a room, this guy is suddenly released one day, and he has 5 days to find out who kidnapped him and why. And that sets up a chain of events that... it's hard to even describe without giving too much away, but it's action-packed. It's got some comedy in there.
I don't know about comedy, but there's some funny situations and facial expressions. And...
yeah, that's comedy. I think that's actually the definition.
If you laugh, it's comedy. Comedy.
There's no jokes being told. There's no, you know, physical humor. But there are certainly things that make you laugh. And I think the language difference really comes into play for us, I think.
Well, because the movie is in Korean.
Yeah.
And... that usually prevents you from watching a movie when you find out it's in a different language.
Absolutely. Unless it's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, because there's not as much dialogue in those movies. Yeah, I don't watch foreign movies ever unless people make me, like they did tonight.
And you saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which you loved.
Sure. Well, it was, you know, really good. I don't think anybody can not like Crouching Tiger.
And in our last episode, you saw Apocalypto, which you liked a lot.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
And now Old Boy.
3 for 3.
Look, he's expanding his horizon.
He's growing up.
Look at him. Yeah, little boy.
If I watched more foreign movies than just a very select few, I'm sure that, you know.
Well, if you watched more American movies other than a select few,
yeah,
you'd probably be pissed off about those movies as well.
Sure.
It's true.
There are more bad movies made in America than good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And that goes, that's the same everywhere else.
This past year, 2007, over 300 movies came out that were eligible for Oscar nominations. How many of those did you see? How many of those do you even want to see?
I don't know.
So, whether it's Korea, China, or America, there's a lot of movies out there that are not the greatest. But if you wave through all the BS, you can see some, find some good stuff out there.
Yeah, I've been pretty, I was very happy to watch the movie tonight. The movie was great.
Very good. Glad to hear it.
And so that Grand Prix prize at the at Cannes, it is the second most prestigious prize after the Palme d'Or. Palme d'Or.
And the third most prestigious is the Screen Door.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Before the Grand Prix was made, it was called the Special Jury Prize, was second place. Oh. But there is a list here of all the movies that have won the Grand Prix, which is pretty cool.
Can you name some?
How about the last 10 years? Let's see. This year was The Morning Forest. Morning is spelled like you're mourning a death. Flanders in 2006. Broken Flowers in 2005.
Old, which is the one with Bill Murray. Saw that.
Broken Flowers?
Liked it very much.
Really? Is it one of his crazy, quirky comedies? Or?
No.
No.
It's one of his great dramas.
Oh, okay. I won't be seeing that.
It's got Full Frontal.
Oh, yeah?
Of a man?
No.
Girl. Okay, good.
her name is Lolita.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a pretty name. Old Boy in 04, Uzak in 03, The Man Without a Past in 02.
That was good. I saw that.
Did you?
It's a Russian movie.
No, it's not.
Well, Switzerland, some European thing.
Russia and Switzerland are quite different, but it's a Finnish movie.
Okay. Well, Switzerland is close to Finnish?
If you think that, no. It's, well, I mean, they're in Europe, but both in Europe, which is a giant
Switzerland
continent.
Is close to Swiss.
Okay.
As opposed to Finnish, which is...
Where's Finland at?
Where's Norway, Finland at? Norway, Sweden, Finland. Sweden, you're thinking of, not Switzerland.
I may not have known the difference between the two.
Sweden.
Where's Switzerland at?
Next to Austria.
Which is next to Germany?
Yes.
Okay. So, more Middle Europe.
Yeah. Well, Western Europe. The middle of Western Europe.
And that movie is Swedish?
Finnish.
Finnish.
Yeah. The Piano Teacher in 01, which is
Austrian. Wait. Oh. The Man with a Pass is a very slow movie.
Without a Pass.
You should never watch it, because then it would stop you from watching Sweden or Finnish movies forever.
And it's actually a Japanese director, which is really strange.
But it was really good. Guy forgets who he is, and that's where he gets The Man Without a Pass, but he's trying to rebuild his life, and meets a lady and hit it off. It's pretty good. I was enjoyed by it. I gave it 4 stars.
Hmm. All right. How about The Piano Teacher? That one in 04. Or 01, I mean.
Mm-mm.
That's an Austrian movie. Devil's on the Doorstep.
Mm-mm.
Chinese movie. Humanite? French movie in 99. Life is Beautiful in 98.
One of the best movies ever.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Spectacular.
Oh, yeah. It's Benigni.
Yep, Roberto Benigni. He won an Oscar for actor and director.
Isn't that the guy that's like banned from America?
No.
Yeah, pedophile or somebody else?
Somebody else. That's
Polanski.
Yeah, oh. Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Polanski, Benigni.
Yeah.
Polish.
Italian. I mean, Polish, Italian, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, same thing.
Nazi that's sympathizers, both of them.
I'm just reading the description about Life is Beautiful since you guys are raving about it.
Life is Beautiful. A guy who is a Jew in World War II, he gets abducted after he falls in love and they have a kid. But him and his son go to the male concentration camp, and his wife goes to the female one. And they got he's trying to keep the son from thinking like the death and destruction that takes place in the concentration camp, trying to keep his spirits up. It is so fantastic. I can't even tell you. It starts off like a Charlie Chaplin movie. I mean, all comedy and everything, and then he goes to the concentration camp, and he still tries to keep it, again, upbeat for his son. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant. He literally convinces his son that this is a contest. It's amazing.
All right, 97 was The Sweet Hereafter, Canadian movie.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot about it.
Breaking the Waves in 96, and Ulysses' Gaze in 95.
Is it a group of people that Ulysses watches over?
No.
Ulysses' Gaze?
No. Nice pun, though. That's his stare. Oh. That's a Greek director.
Yeah.
You notice how not one of these movies is from America? Actually, take that back. Broken Flowers is an American director.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm just saying, Cannes Film Festival never seems like it's always an independent foreign film but the foreign country is not America.
I'm inclined to say that most of the best movies of the year are usually independent films, by your definition, that are smaller films, not by the big blockbuster movie companies, even though they may be distributed by the bigger movie companies.
Yeah.
Because those are going to be, I think, your most original and just hit you over the head like, oh my gosh, that was so good.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about independent movies is they can go, for, by virtue of their independency, they don't, you know, they're not dependent on the studio, they're not dependent for the money, so they don't have to go through the whole process and screenings and public opinion. They can make the story they want to make, you know, and some stories they'll just send the studios running off into the hills if they had to release it, you know.
True, true. I was listening to Kevin Smith's podcast the other day, and he was talking about how long it took Dogma to come out because of all the screenings they had to do so many test screenings.
You got death threats over that movie. I mean, it's a freaking comedy, you know? It's amazing.
Okay, so we all agree. Old Boy, 5 stars.
Yeah, six. Old Boy was great.
7, 8, 10.
I never thought, even if I thought I liked it, I thought it would give it 4 stars, but the last half an hour was just amazing. I mean, the whole movie was really good, but the last half an hour was shocking. Scary. Awesome.
Scary. Nice.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Because you were worried for him?
You were worried for him the whole movie, and his lady friend, but...
I just love how it really becomes about not why was he imprisoned, but why was he set free. Right. That is the most shocking of it all. So there you go.
Yeah. Great movie. Even for anybody out there who...
Great movie. One of the coolest...
Doesn't like foreign films.
One of the coolest single take... You know, scenes you'll ever see in your life. It's renowned for it. You look it up, they'll tell you all about it.
What's it called? A tracking scene?
Tracking shot.
Tracking shot? Man, that was awesome.
A tracking shot comes from the old days when they had movie cameras running on a track. And they lay it down and they'd follow people walking, let's say, and you move the camera along the track and follow around. Now they don't use track so much anymore. A lot of handheld stuff going on.
Or
Steadicams. And so in this case, a lot of that was used there. This one continuous shot.
So yeah, in this movie, Old Boy, there was a, like Jeff said, one long tracking shot. It was an awesome fight scene. It lasted at least several minutes. It was awesome. No outtakes.
Yes, get out there and rent Old Boy. Often.
Definitely.
However, we did get the Blu-ray version from Netflix.
And it crapped out on us.
Yeah.
Feces-covered rental discs.
We continued on with the standard DVD version of it, which was watchable, but all of us were a little, you know, heart sick about it.
I didn't think it would make a big difference, considering the movie looked like it was supposed to look old on purpose, and kind of, I don't know, dark, you know, it's not real bright features or whatever, but we put in that standard DVD, and it was really fuzzy.
Notice that? Like the part where it cut out that we came back to, that green door, the bottom of that green door, how much greener was that door on the Blu-ray?
It was still dark on the Blu-ray, but it was more vibrant, I guess.
You could still see. I mean,
yeah. And just the clarity, so much more clear. You could see the outline of the guy's head, and the standard DVD is just fuzz. Yeah. It's terrible. And this is on a 6-foot-wide HD TV.
Yeah, yeah. In case you don't know, Walt owns the largest TV available to humankind.
I wouldn't say that, but
not known to man, but available to the people.
Yeah, 73-inch Mitsubishi DLP.
Mind you, we all hate it,
and yet you keep coming over.
Oh, I know.
TV envy.
I can't watch my piece of crap anymore. I tell you, every time I watch a movie here, I immediately go home and beat on my TV for being inferior.
Okay, so last week we also introduced myself and John to Bullet. I'd heard many things about Bullet, namely the chase scene. If you read anything about car chases on the internet or anywhere, they will quote Bullet as the preeminent car chase movie and chase scene. Stars Steve McQueen, who did so many movies in the 60s that he got to be very famous for, and Bullet is one of his premier movies. The other movie that I saw with Steve McQueen in, the first one, was The Blob, which may not be known as a Steve McQueen movie, but it was really good. Enjoyed the heck out of it. Kids all loved it.
Yeah, another really amazing Steve McQueen movie is Papillon. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not.
It's sitting on my desk in there.
Gotta see it. Great movie. Got a very young and practically unrecognizable Dustin Hoffman in it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite spectacular.
Bullet had a quite young and unrecognizable Robert Duvall in it for about 5 minutes.
And a pretty young, unrecognizable Norman Fell, Mr. Roper.
Oh, yeah. Man, Mr. That Roper. Was awesome. Yeah. He was so recognizable, but much, much younger. So, this movie, Bullet, I had never heard of. And Steve McQueen, I barely heard of. I just heard it was cool, or that means for the 60s. But, yeah, he did okay. I didn't see what the big deal was about that guy. I mean, he did okay. I didn't notice any great acting or any emotion whatsoever. But the movie wasn't bad. It was actually kind of good. I think I give it 4 stars because of what it did back 40 years ago. I would love to see a remake with, like, I don't know, can't really pick a certain actor, but a
remake probably. CGI and all that in there.
Sure.
A little Gone in 60 Seconds type action.
I was just going to say that.
Which is another remake, by the way.
The car chase scene was awesome for being 40-something years old. It was spectacular. Of course, it wasn't as eye-pleasing or as much eye candy as, like, you know, Fast and Furious, stuff like that. They're all computers and looks, you know, outrageous, because it is. This one was real and sick, but if they redid it, it'd probably be, you know, even more eye-pleasing, but still very good.
Yeah. Well, in this one, Steve McQueen, he's a not a fancy cop, just does his job, gets it done. Frank Bullitt.
Just blue-collar cop, detective.
Him and a couple other cops are assigned to watch over a witness for 48 hours before he goes to trial on Monday. And his buddy officers and the witness himself gets killed. And Bullet chases down the hitman that killed him. And he vows to catch him and the mafia boss that hired him. Find out what's going on.
Yeah, simple plot, but pretty well done.
It leads to an unexpected twist ending and a very, very noisy finishing set of scenes at the airport.
At the airport.
There were several things in this movie that pissed a lot of us off. They tended to zoom in on obscure nothingness, like a building they would just stare at for 30 seconds and you're wondering what the hell is going to happen. Nothing ever happens. You just stared at the side of a building for no reason. So the movie was, I think, 2 hours long. When the action was maybe an hour and a half. I'm talking dialogue, action, everything put together. The other 30 minutes was fluff of sides of buildings. It was nothing. It was horrible.
That's the interesting thing to me that you mentioned, too. I've seen it a couple times, but only really on television, you know? And you know they edited them for content and whatnot. So, you know, I'm just like, there were things in there I don't remember going on for so nearly long. And the movie just seemed a lot more action back to me. This was definitely a slower version of the movie that I'd seen before.
Yeah, it was quite slow at times, but
nonetheless impactful. Still love it. Still holds up. The chase scene, amazing. McQueen is the king of cool. I mean, nothing phases the guy. The guy runs around an entire airport. Comes walking in. He ain't throwing up. All of us would be puking our guts out.
And he was like 50 something in this movie too. I mean, real life.
Like, he's older.
Well, 50, 60-something. He was pretty old.
And then you had, like you mentioned, Robert Duvall and Norman Fell looking very young. Then Jacqueline Bisset, like a little girl in this movie.
Yeah.
Vic Tayback, who became Mel on Mel's Diner.
Yeah, he had a tiny little part. It's good to see old Vic.
Yeah.
Last time I saw Vic was in a alcohol awareness training video.
That's funny.
It is.
But the big reason why you watch Bullet is for the chase scene. And as far as that goes, it is worth watching.
That chase scene just delivers, period.
Right.
But that didn't make the movie, though.
No, it didn't make the movie.
I don't know if that's the reason why you watch it.
But as highly regarded as that chase scene is, you know, you want to see it, and you see it, and the fact that they did it without any computer or special effects, you know, for
the
time,
just
cars.
I mean, no speeding up shots like they do in the Mad Max movies, right? I mean, just... It's real.
Yeah,
it's
when you watch it, they showed some overhead shots and some, same level shots, and the cars are just barely skid by these other real cars and even smash into them. And pretty amazing stunt work for 1968.
Yeah, it was. They used 2 Mustangs and 2 Chargers for it, Dodge Chargers, mm-hmm, 2 of each.
Only 2? Really?
It's only 2.
That's amazing.
They wanted them to run 75 to 80 miles an hour through the streets of San Francisco. They ended up going over 110 at some points and going over the hills and bottoming out. The shock absorbers hitting the ground.
I think the 110 had to be on that the mountainside because there's no way they were going 100 on the city streets. But they were going fast.
Yeah. It took them 3 weeks to film it and for just that 9 minutes of footage.
That was 9 minutes? Really?
9 minutes.
Oh my God.
That's the fastest 9 minutes ever.
Yeah, it seemed like 3 minutes, which is still pretty long.
Yeah,
that rivals, I mean, a lot of chase scenes. Of course, like Ronin and was it French Connection or something?
The French Connection.
Yeah, those are, of course, great.
To Live and Die in L.A. A great scene.
But this was, for being so old, it was good.
Yep. This probably started the car chases being so amazingly great. And then even nowadays with Quentin Tarantino, Grindhouse, he did Death Proof. That was getting back to the roots. Now I've moved up higher on my queue, Vanishing Point, to see. Which is another Reed Carr movie.
How old did you guys think that Steve McQueen was in this movie?
I would say mid-30s.
I'd say in his 40s at the most.
Really, at the most?
Early 40s.
He's so old. I thought he was like 50. Well, he's only 38. Mm-hmm. I thought he was much older.
Yeah.
Born in Beech Grove, Indiana. Population 12.
So you gave Bullet 4 stars, which is impressive. I only gave it 3.
Yeah, kind of I'm actually... No, I think I couldn't have given it 4 stars. It had to be 3. Yeah, I remember we were talking about being between 2 and 3. Can't say 2 because I can't say I didn't like it. But I did, kind of. Yeah, 3 stars. Not 4.
And Jeff loved it.
Still 5. Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
Great movie. Queen is he's the man.
Very nice. That's a Bullet. Worth seeing for the car chase. And just the nostalgic value of it.
But it can be quite slow and boring at times. Mm-hmm. For those of you under 35.
Oh, and don't forget, we have to just put the shout out to the fax machine the size of a Buick.
Oh, yes. The telecopier, what's it called? Telecopier? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Fax machine, 1968.
The thing was huge. Pretty it sweet. Was great.
Yeah, it was catchy. There's a lot of old stuff in there you're watching.
Oh, yeah. Thing. I remember at one point, I'm laying around. Now I'm 24. Everyone I'm watching with is 37 or older. And apparently Steve McQueen goes to a market, starts picking out frozen TV dinners. No big deal to me, because, you know, we all eat frozen TV dinners whenever we want. But these guys start talking about baking it in the oven for an hour. I have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
They were
at
the Swanson TV dinners in the silver foil pan.
A metal tray.
An hour?
Yeah, I think it was 35 minutes. But if you cook two, because you got brothers and sisters.
Oh, that's
outrageous. But you got to preheat the oven. And I mean, it's a whole big deal.
That's outrageous.
I think they tasted better,
too,
back then.
They tasted a lot better.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they used raw food.
Well, they still had powdered mashed potatoes, but it was... Fried chicken actually was crispy.
Oh, can we talk about some disgusting scenes in one in particular in Old Boy?
Okay.
The animal.
The animal.
Okay. The octopus.
The live meal.
Anybody squeamish, just you might not want to watch that movie, but it was a great movie. But if you can't handle like intense pain or watching disgusting things being eaten, don't watch those scenes. That's all I gotta say.
That was pretty good. Now, was that real or was that special effects?
Dude, that looked pretty damn real.
It was actually real.
That looked pretty damn real. That was disgusting.
The actor, Min-Sik Choi, is a Buddhist, and he had to pray before he ate the octopus, which I would too if I was eating octopus.
I know.
I'd pray not to eat the octopus.
Dear Lord, please don't let me throw up all over this camera.
So, since we're already talking about it, the guy ate a live octopus, which is as disgusting to watch as it sounds. He bit the head off, and the tentacle is still attached to his nose and face, and he kept eating the whole thing.
I love going to the Chinese buffet. So they nasty. Have the little squids there, and I put them in my mouth with the tentacles hanging out.
Oh,
kind of wiggled it at the kids before I suck it down.
That octopus was...
It doesn't taste bad, but revolting. It doesn't taste like you should eat it again, but I have to just to make sure I get the reaction out of the kids.
Totally.
The worst heebie-jeebies.
That was good. That was good. Now, we talked about that we watched Old Boy on the Blu-ray, and for whatever reason, it was skipping and stopping.
Yeah, the DVD might have
real early in the movie.
It had to have a big gash in it, because it just skipped 4 minutes. It didn't even, like, try. It just, bam, 4 minutes later.
Right. And we watched Bullet on Blu-ray, and that actually looked pretty good. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Being 40 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
Still looked dark and dingy, but it was 40 years ago.
Yeah, even the beginning of Old Boy was dark. Maybe I have to calibrate the TV.
Well, everything else looks fine.
True. But maybe it's when the Blu-ray hooks up to it that it gets darker.
Maybe Blu-ray sucks.
Maybe it does.
Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't.
Still not sold on the whole Blu-ray thing.
You should ask the fellas at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, they seem to be sold on it. It's, they've been making their movies both HD and Blu-ray available, and now, Jeff, you said...
They announced at CES that in 2008 they'd be going exclusively Blu-ray, which, according to the article I read in... most insiders pretty much calls this war of the formats, you know, in favor of Blu-ray.
Yeah.
We have Paramount DreamWorks, is still on the HD side.
Till 2009, I believe.
And Fox seems to make HD. I see their videos on some HDs, or I watch regular DVDs that advertise Fox HD DVDs.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. They keep saying, depend on the porn industry, which side they go to. Well, actually, I don't think that has an effect like it did back in the old days.
Yeah.
For the simple fact that most people, I don't think, get their porn from DVDs anymore.
Not too many. Well, only the enthusiasts. Do you really, really want to see porn that clearly?
Absolutely.
Every hair, every pimple,
every blemish, yeah,
every razor burn.
Next topic?
And I don't know, do I really want to see ultra porn on a 7-foot TV?
Oh, no, you do.
Oh, yeah? Hey, all right, fired up.
You know, Steve McQueen was only 50 when he died?
Did he die of a car crash?
Nope.
It was like a heart attack or something.
Nope.
Lung cancer?
He's a smoking fool.
Retarded smoker.
Hey, man.
50.
Hey, man, some of our constituents out there probably smokers. Don't be alienating anybody.
Jackasses.
Not alienating them. Just
calling them retarded.
Reminding them that they should stop.
Idiots.
No, we're telling them we love them and we want them around. They should cut this horrible, horrible addiction that has them surrounded.
They want to continue listening to us week after week. They should stop.
That's right.
Yeah.
If for no other reason but then to listen to us.
They can smoke themselves to us death more. In their own house as long as they don't light up when they're out in a crowd or out in public places. It'll be fine. But they can swallow the whole carton of cigarettes at their own house.
Okay. All right, so we were going to touch upon Rain Out Over Me, the Adam Sandler, Don Cheadle movie that came out this past summer. I finally caught it on DVD, Blu-ray again, and it was amazingly fantastic. I couldn't believe how good it was. Adam Sandler plays a guy who lost his family after the World Trade Center thing, and Don Cheadle runs into him several years later. They were college roommates in dental school, and Adam Sandler's character, to be sure, is not altogether with it, and Don Cheadle helps try to bring him back.
Adam Sandler lost his family at 9/11. That's why he's now crazy.
He's not crazy, he's just hiding from
he's got what problems.
His life was, because to think about it hurts too much.
Yeah, fantastic movie. Don Cheadle, of course, is always great.
Always great.
Here's Adam Sandler again in a drama that is just heads and tails above any of his recent comedies that I can remember.
Well, he hasn't done too many comedies recently, but he's just fantastic in everything he does.
I love Adam Sandler, but this was just one of his best performances in a while. And we're talking about how Robin Williams, man, he does these comedies, RV, License to Wed, is just dreadful, unbelievable.
You don't like License to Wed?
I'm not going to see that. It just looks like garbage.
Let's get off on a tangent here. I actually watched it like a couple weeks ago, not by choice. I was somewhere and they had it on.
They had a twist on your arm?
Yes. I watched it and it was pretty damn good.
Really?
Because I expect it to be trash, like you're saying, because it just looks...
Well, maybe that's it, that you just have to have low expectations when you go into it.
It was pretty damn funny. And many more.
I'm sorry, I just can't do it. You know what? I can't forgive the guy because he's made some funny movies in the past, but I really can't forgive the guy because he does such amazing drama. Mm-hmm. Just do the drama, man. Just
Mandy Moore was gorgeous in that movie, and the lead actor guy, who he's in something I forgot. But
Jim from The Office.
There, thank you very much. Yeah, I know. So Jim from The Office.
He was Nobody knows this poor guy's name.
I know.
He's just Jim from The Office. You're Jim from The Office.
He was really good. So if he's in another movie, I'd go see that just because he was really good.
Very
so
nice.
Anybody out there, just see it on DVD. Just give it a chance. It's not bad.
An RV.
That was terrible.
Okay.
That was miserably. Horribly terrible.
Now, as you went to see it voluntarily?
RV, no.
Oh, okay.
Saw it on DVD because somebody else wanted to.
Well, I had heard that it was so great. Steve raves about it. He went to see it like 3 times in the theater.
That was your first mistake listening to Steve. RV in the theater?
In the theater.
Oh, I don't believe that. No way.
He did.
No. Three and times in the theater.
Yes. And one of those times... We went to see it with him. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I can't believe that.
Now, I don't know if you remember, Jeff, if you were with me, or maybe you were, John, that we went to the Regal, the Texas, and they had a screening, they pull you aside to a little booth, and they show you a trailer, and then they ask you a bunch of questions on it, a little market survey thing, and they show me the preview for RV, and it starts off, it says Barry Sonnenfeld, or, from the director of Men in Black. And you're like, oh, this could be interesting. And then they start showing the movie, the trailer, and watching it, and it just looked horrible. Even the trailer was horrible. And I answered all the questions telling them how bad it was, and they did things in the trailer, like the toilet exploded and feces going all over the place. Not funny. It just...
Actually, I thought that was really the funny part that I saw in the whole movie.
You found that not funny.
I found it not funny. The man was who was silly
3 hours ago laughing hysterically at an elephant at pooping.
Recalling this 10 years ago.
Yeah, a 10-year-old memory made him laugh hysterically to himself.
The man's in tears. Uncontrollably. Sitting in this chair I am in now, laughing uncontrollably, tears running from his eyes about this elephant.
Elephant that,
you know, just pooping away and yet the human feces just turn you right
no
off.
No go, yeah.
But the elephant was funny.
Only animal feces.
So the elephant can stick to comedy, Williams back to drama, right?
Maybe it's just the RV, because in that Meet the Fockers movie, they had the cat or the dog in the toilet and it exploded with the blue water. Not funny.
No, not funny at all.
What?
Everything else about little, don't get me wrong. Everything else about that movie, ridiculous.
The little chihuahua was all blue. That wasn't funny. That was hilarious. No, no. The little dog was blue. The little rat dog was blue.
Weakest moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
weakest funny. Moment in a great movie. I mean,
great movie. I'll give it a great movie, but it was not that. Sure. Was that?
But anyway, so, back. We've digressed. Yeah. A bit.
So the RV trailer.
John Krasinski. I'm sorry. That's his name. That's from The Office.
Given all my tidbits and inputs, when they finally did show the trailer in the movie theater, you know, we saw it before movie. It actually looked a bit better. It was definitely better than what I had seen in the little market survey. So I think that's why I allowed Steve to drag us down there. Bad, bad. However, Robin Williams has done some other things recently. You know, we've mentioned 1 Hour Photo. Jeff and I were talking earlier. Or The Final Cut.
The, was it The Night Listener?
The Night Listener, which I hadn't seen, but I heard good things about. A lot of people love Insomnia.
Great movie.
All these dramas. Really just what now his the last two comedies I've heard him about, RV and License to Wed. John says he likes it.
Yeah, License to Wed. I'm gonna give it 4 stars. It was good, man. It was good. It wasn't really all about Robin Williams. It was more about Mandy Moore and John Krasinski, and which is good because Mandy Moore is looking hotter than ever. She used to be pretty cute. Now she's hot. And those two were very good together. A lot of chemistry. It was funny. But of course, it was cookie cutter. You know, you knew what was gonna happen. You knew what's going on. But still, pretty good.
Anyway.
I got another one. Comedian or person who's known for his funny movies doing dramas, Jim Carrey.
Yeah. That's the one that stands out most to me.
Lisa didn't care for number 23. I haven't seen it. But Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, one of my favorite movies the last 10 years. Loved it.
Yeah, actually, Carrey's my one exception for that.
Is that right?
I swear. Yeah. His dramas have done little for me.
Have you seen number 23?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
It was very good. Yeah. You guys are both liking it a lot.
But like The Majestic, the one where he saves the movie theater. I mean, watchable and everything like that, but not blowing me away.
The Truman Show was good.
Truman Show was okay.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, me too.
And I even went and saw that Ed TV. I think that's one of your movies.
That wasn't...
And it's the same thing as Truman Show, and I like that too.
It's not the same thing at all.
I mean, cameras falling around a person.
Except they know about it. It's like a reality TV show, but...
Okay.
It's different, but I see what you're saying.
A similar premise that, you know, that happens every year.
Back to Robin Williams, he also left out Man of the Year, where he ran for president.
Yeah, I didn't
actually
see
that. Won a presidency. Yeah, don't see
that.
It. No, don't see it. It was bad.
So that's a bad drama?
No, it's comedy. Well, it's supposed to be a comedy, but it wasn't funny.
That was the thing. It started out as a comedy and then had these strange dramatic elements.
Oh, it was bad.
There was a conspiracy element to it that was just improbable and kind of silly. Even Laura Linney couldn't save it. She's pretty darn good in everything she does.
You know the premise, right? He's a comedian, like talk show host.
And they want to make him run for president.
Oh, he runs and he wins as a joke, but he won. He ran as a joke and then he won. And
well, the reason he wins is because of a glitch in the big software program that now handles the voting after the big Florida disaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the whole conspiracy is the company that has it, stands to lose billions, and so the one person, Laura Linney, that knows is made to look like a fruitcake, and, you know.
Even Lewis Black, who, to me, is always funny in everything he does.
Okay, no, wait. The movie sucked, but Lewis Black was still funny in it.
What I was going to say was
Lewis Black was funny in a bad mood.
Yeah, what I was going to say was that he's always fantastic, and I can't even remember he was in it. That's how bad the movie was.
Wow.
But I love Lewis Black.
yeah.
I can't remember. I didn't know he was in until I looked it up just now. Now I remember, of course, his scenes were pretty good.
Yeah.
But very short. And then, you know.
So don't see Man of the Year.
Do not see Man of the Year.
Nah, I wouldn't worry.
And you would classify that as Robin Williams comedy?
No. I'd classify that as Robin Williams.
I'd classify it as Robin Williams comedy because it sucks.
I don't know what you classify it as. I'm telling you, it was not a comedy. And like Jeff said, there was dramatic moments that they were supposed to be dramatic. They weren't. No idea. Can't even classify it.
You know what the weirdest thing is? I mean, we're here ragging on the man's comedy. He can still be stand-up like nobody's
I am not ragging on Robin Williams comedy. I think he's fantastic and everything.
God.
You guys don't like it. But I think it's great.
Two out of three, you just said no. RV, a man of the year.
Yeah, I think that those are just really commercialized movies. That I think he wants money. Because those are all just big-time commercial movies that...
Well, maybe he has to do the comedy because there are people that will pay for him to do comedy.
I can't see Jackie him choosing Chan. To do those movies.
Well, he does. Well, he does have a certain constituency that, you know, find him funny no matter what he does.
True.
I wonder if he resents them because, you know, he just does that drama so damn well, and maybe. It's rarely, you know, it's rarely acknowledged. The one time it's been, you know, really truly acknowledged was Good Will Hunting. You know, when he got an Oscar.
Exactly.
That's the one time he's gotten real true acknowledgement for. Well, I mean, real big. You know, well, that's another one I classify as a comedy and one of the
comedy, right?
Yeah.
I don't bust that comedy.
And one of his bad comedies?
Yeah, I didn't care for it. It was really, really sappy.
Wow.
Very saccharine.
And like I was saying, he does the comedies maybe because he feels he has to. He has that fan base. Jackie Chan was recently talking. He's doing this movie with Jet Li. And they have to put action in it. But he would rather get out there and sing, you know, and do drama roles. But he's got to do the action because that's what people expect of him.
Did you say sing?
Sing. He wants to be a singer, Jackie Chan.
We can't understand the words he says when he's talking slowly.
He doesn't have to sing in English?
Well, okay, but he wants to do a dramatic role, you said. Did you just say he wants to do drama?
Yep.
Can't understand the man.
He doesn't have to do it in English. Chow Yun-fat does a lot of drama, so he doesn't speak English in.
He could do a foreign film. Good point.
Now, just looking, you were naming some of his movies. August Rush, that's a drama, right? And that's one of the top-rated movies this year. Everybody's talking about that. Then Robin Williams is in that.
Oh, okay. The with Freddie Highmore?
I don't know who's in it.
Yeah, Freddie Highmore.
Yeah.
It's that kid.
Cool.
Yeah,
okay, I remember that now.
Yeah, that's like... I'm not a fan of those fantasy movies at all.
It's not a fantasy movie.
A drama with fairy tale elements. And I've seen the trailer, and I know it's like... it's like fantasy. Not fantasy as in, I can't even think of a fantasy movie because I don't watch them, but it's got a lot of imagination involved and artsy, flightsy crap that I don't like, so. And this is actually half musical. Has a lot of music in it.
Okay, so if we're still on this Robin Williams thing because disappointing in him and his comedy because that's what he used to be known for. But he is making great movies. Just going back, we started with a 1 hour photo. Fantastic.
Yeah, go back a few. That's
amazing. 1 hour photo. Death to Smoochie.
Amazing.
Right. Insomnia. Great.
Yep.
Final Cut. Fantastic. Yep. House of D. I just recently saw this. David Duchovny. Great. I don't remember Robin Williams in it, but I love the movie.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things.
They have Noel, which I don't know anything about. Robots, which I would classify as a comedy. Not great. Yeah. The Big White. I don't know what that is.
Should name off some of the ones we know are really good then.
The Night Listener.
Okay, Night Listener is really good.
RV, not good at all. Everyone's Hero, I'm not seeing that, which I would classify as a comedy. Man of the Year, we've already talked about that. Happy Feet, overrated, not very good. It's, and again, I don't, what did he play a little Spanish paper?
Mm-hmm.
He had a few voices, actually.
Yeah. A lot of people like Happy Feet, but not for me. Now, Night at the Museum, he was in, and he was pretty good. I don't know if he was so funny in it, but the movie was classified as a comedy.
He was playing his part, and he played it well. He played, he was playing the mannequin of Teddy Roosevelt, and he played it perfectly.
So then we have License to Wed and August Rush. Yeah. So you go back to those movies. The best of those are to the dramas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can go further back. You know, Fisher King is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
And he was still actually pretty funny in it, too. He did comedy and drama and pulled it off.
I'm going to agree with you guys that Robin Williams does much better dramas than the comedies.
Yeah, the thing is shifting. And now, which leads us back to Adam Sandler, who seems to be taking that same route.
I think Adam Sandler's... I don't know. I can't say that for Adam Sandler. He does great, great dramas. I think he's great in everything. Click was not the best movie.
Actually, I like Click a lot.
I like Click. I liked
it. I don't know if it was that funny, but it was good.
Right,
it was just a good movie. That's what I'm saying. It was all right. But,
Chuck and Larry, which I still haven't seen. I'm dying to see it. I think it's going to be really good. Have you guys seen that yet?
No.
Not yet.
I want to see it. I think it's going to be good. The Longest Yard, pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Nothing great, but pretty good.
Nothing Spanglish, great, and made even worse when you remember the original.
The original is much better. Yeah, but Spanglish.
Spanglish.
Funny, but still a very dramatic role, which he pulled off.
One of the best movies I've ever seen.
One of his best performances ever.
I agree.
And wonderful movie.
That's, you can't say enough about that movie.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the guy is just completely likable, completely human. He doesn't play him over the top. He plays him with a grace, almost. He really, you know, just this very kind, sometimes bewildered man who has all this crazy stuff going on around with his life.
Lots of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it's wonderful.
50 First Dates, I thought was fantastic.
50 First Dates, amazing. Great. That's like the last...
Real comedy.
The last Sandler-esque type comedy. Definitely. You know, he's got his friends in there, everything like that. But even then, he's still pretty darn normal.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and he was hilarious. Loved it, you know.
Yep.
But this movie...
Anger Management before that.
This movie.
Of course.
Horrible.
No.
And that's a comedy.
That was
I
great.
Think that was supposed to be a comedy.
It was a comedy. It was great.
No.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Jack Nicholson
anyone
never
I've
sucks.
Talked to
and just, you know, I don't know. He didn't really necessarily suck in this movie, but it wasn't mind-blowing. It wasn't, I don't know. I was disappointed. I expected more.
Wow.
I really did. I'm
surprised you guys didn't like it.
I think, you know what, I think my expectations were a bit high. Because I was just,
I thought there's so much going on. He was, like you were saying, total normal guy. Really passive guy. I thought it was fantastic.
I don't like Adam Sandler when he yells a lot. And that movie he wasn't yelling.
At all.
But Jack Nicholson, I think, was yelling a lot in it.
Wow. Yeah, that's what Jack Nicholson does. Anybody who's curious about that Paz Vega, who was the maid in Spanglish, there's a movie. I wish I could remember the name.
Sex and Lucia.
Yes, where she gets naked a lot.
Yep. Very good movie.
Curious because she's pretty.
You
hot.
Saw that?
I rented
or you just
Netflix
fast forward
just to fast forward to those spots.
Oh yeah, Sex and Lucia is a great movie. I like that a lot.
I don't know. It was another language, so I didn't watch it.
Spanish. It's like your second language.
Yeah, true. Oh, 10 Items or Less with Morgan Freeman. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah.
She was a grocery store clerk. Nothing. You seen it?
No.
It was pretty good. It was not my normal kind of movie, but it had Morgan Freeman and this hot Spanish chick, so I saw it. Pretty good. Not bad.
Recently listening to another podcast, I'm going to guess that it was Cinema Playground, and they called Paz Vega Penelope Cruz Light.
Penelope Cruz Light.
Oh, that's good.
It is good.
You know what? 10 Items Less is actually really good. 4 stars. Now that I remember. Morgan Freeman was a little different. He's like an old, over-the-hill movie star. And he did a great job just being a dork. It was good.
Let me get this straight. You saw Spanglish, and you're like, man, this girl's beautiful. What other has she been in?
Yep.
Went to Mr. Skin, saw Sex and Lucia. Rented it.
Damn straight. Although, I have to say that she's not... I guess in Spanglish, she looked a lot prettier than she did a few years ago during Sex and Lucia. I mean, she's still pretty. But in that movie, she looked really young and kind of strung out on croak. But she's still pretty hot, so...
Very interesting, very interesting.
Yeah, but she looked prettier in 10 Items or Less, because that was just 2 years ago, or actually just over a year ago. So.
I think that's great. It's a movie just for that. I wish you would watch the movie, because it's really good. It's very good.
It didn't seem that. I mean, I can't say I fast-forwarded all the way through it, just to those spots, but I watched parts of it, and I was just like, okay, this is not very good. This is really slow and really dramatic.
Did you watch when they were on the beach with the guy? She was on the beach with the guy?
I think so. Yeah, you remember that.
Because he was naked in that, too.
I don't remember that.
Well, you would remember it if you saw it, because he was...
Wait, no, he was naked a lot in the movie.
Yeah.
He was naked just as much as she was.
The sand, he was naked. It was. Yeah. You would remember it if you saw it.
I would really like to see Adam Sandler do some more...
Nude scenes?
No. Yes, full frontal. More Mr. Deeds, Anger Management, 50 First Dates kind of movies. Well, I guess Chuck and Larry would be kind of like one of those, except more commercialized, I guess. Not with his group of buddies, you know?
Well, along with the Zohan movie that's coming out next year, or this year, he's also got Bedtime Stories, which is another comedy. Yeah.
What's that?
That's where he is, he's a terrorist, like a Middle Eastern terrorist.
Oh, you don't mess with Zohan?
And he decides to open up a beauty parlor, a hairstylist
he's
here in America.
He's not a terrorist, he's like an ex-Israeli Green Beret type guy.
Oh.
Okay. A Mossad agent fakes his death so he can reemerge in New York City as a hairstylist.
Yeah.
So what's Mossad? Not to sound ignorant, but...
I think it's suggested.
It's another one of those Middle Eastern organization type things.
Okay.
They can be terrorists. I don't know.
Do you know who wrote that Zohan movie? Judd Apatow.
Co-wrote it?
No.
He's
wrote.
Really?
And he also wrote Walk Hard, Knocked Up, from Dick and Jane, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Pineapple Express. I thought that was his big movie coming out this year.
That's coming out. I don't know what it is, but it's coming out.
That's his big comedy for the summer.
Oh, wow. Judd Apatow's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did all that until just now.
He's very successful.
Yeah, I've heard his name before, but yeah, that's successful.
Okay, so getting into stuff that's coming out next week, talking about January 8th, which is in just a couple of days. Probably don't have a list in front of you. I think the movie's coming out is 310 to Yuma. You guys seen it?
January 8th. Oh, DVD. I have not seen it, but I want to. You
awesome
see it?
Movie.
Is it?
You didn't see it?
You went to the theaters to see it?
Went to the theaters to see it.
Christian Bale and Russell Crowe?
You didn't
I did
it?
Not see it.
Next Saturday?
Next Saturday what?
Watch it.
Sure.
Yeah, possible. Okay. Then we'll have that discussion later. We'll have the discussion on Saturday.
Okay,
totally worth watching.
Good, good.
Amazing.
Boogeyman 2. Have you guys seen Boogeyman 1?
No.
I did see Boogeyman 1.
Oh my goodness.
And I wanted to shoot myself when I was done.
It was so horrible.
So bad.
I mean,
it wasn't... Oh, I can't even talk about it.
It was that bad. I have to believe I gave it 1 star.
If there was less than 1, I'd give it less than 0 stars.
Okay.
It was that bad.
So this is Boogeyman 2. Is this coming directly to video? Did
it
have a theatrical release at all?
Made
no.
A sequel.
Right to video. Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
As a reminder, since we were talking about stars here... is that we use the Netflix star rating system, which means no half stars. 1 through 5 is what you can rate movies at, or not interested. That's the best you can do for a 0 star.
But we each have our own little modifications to that system. Well, at least clarification.
We chat about them, but, you know, the big man ignores them.
It's a 5-star scale. It's a whole stars, no half stars. Amazon.com does the same
You're
thing.
Right.
I mean, no, we ramble on about our little, you know. Well, I want 8 stars, dude. And he just humors us.
7 and 5/8 is the proper
right.
number of stars.
Another movie coming out that I almost went to the theater to see, but we missed it was Dragon Wars. Dragon Wars was that CGI movie with the dragons fighting in the city. I wonder if that's coming out on
just one more thing about the Boogeyman. Not one actor was in it that you've ever heard of. Well, at least that I've ever heard of.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, now here's another thing. I was going to say that maybe they could have done a good job and saved it. No, it was horrible. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It was bad. I mean, I don't even... I'm good. I wish I could remember what the movie was about so I could just ruin it and spoil it for people so they have no interest in seeing it. Most I can remember is that they would go through this door and it would open up the door and go through it and then it'd be in some other house. And they'd go through the door and be in some other place. And
so it's like one of those disjointed, one of your disjointed dreams where, you know, you're in a room one moment and the next moment you're underwater.
Right.
You know?
But you know, somewhere in your dream you have some kind of story going on.
Sometimes.
This had no story whatsoever.
Yeah.
I
actually
just didn't get it.
You know who was in that movie, Boogeyman? Lucy Lawless, Xena.
Yeah,
I don't remember that, but she was the mom.
Wow.
That's exciting.
They also have the director's cut of Zodiac coming out. Zodiac was a good movie.
I
can't even imagine how big, how long the director's cut is. Because it was about 2.5 hours
and
long.
Half, yeah.
It was good, and it was through and through. But
we'll have to see what it adds to it.
Right.
On IMDb, they're advertising Boogeyman 2 director's unrated director's cut.
Oh, the unrated one.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, since it's straight to DVD, I don't think they really had to get it rated.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But it's the director's cut.
Which means they edited it once.
Now, we have a email address, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. And I would like somebody to email us, unless you guys know the answer right here, right now. I want a website that tells me what the difference between a regular rated R DVD versus an unrated version is. I want just, you know, like the Boogeyman 2, I want to know what the rated R version is and what the unrated version is. And you see so many. Here's the director's cut of Zodiac. What did they put in there? You know, that was different than the theatrical release. Yeah. That's what I wanted, you know. So is it worth it? We rented Superbad from Redbox. When we got it home, it was the rated R version, the theatrical version. I took it back, and I waited to get it from Netflix, the unrated version. I don't know what the difference is, but I just didn't want to be left without.
It's going to depend from movie to movie. I mean,
well, then don't you feel left without if you saw the movie in the theater, and then you get the DVD, but you never really watch it, or you just never watch the DVD unrated because you already saw the movie in the theater?
No, because I knew that that's what I was getting in the theater, and so I probably wouldn't watch it again. It was a great movie. But, you know, I don't usually watch the same movie again. I usually
that was my point. So
choose my time to see a movie. But if I have a choice of seeing a movie, I want to see it the best that I can.
Yeah, that's true.
This is why we were so frustrated seeing Old Boy. I'm going to watch this movie the second time. Great. I'm all for it. But I would have rather to see the Blu-ray edition.
This has got
to
be your third time because you actually watched it with me before. And then you actually saw it with your wife before then. So
It's a great movie.
Yeah, three times. This man has watched this movie three times.
Third time's a charm.
Does that mean you're done with it?
Unless that Blu-ray gets working. Yep.
Best Korean movie I've ever seen.
Old Very Korean nice. Ever seen. Now here's another movie coming out. You guys seen White Noise with, I believe, Michael Keaton?
Very forgettable.
Forgettable. But not in a, it was just a bad way, but it was forgettable. And they used to, they promoted the heck out of that movie. You know, they got the 20 minutes in the theater before the movie starts. They were all talking about it. Yeah. And I had no interest in seeing it whatsoever, not even a little bit. So, of course, the wife dragged me down to see it. It wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all. But it wasn't. Like, it was forgettable, though.
It was forgettable. White Noise 2 coming out this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Pete in it?
No.
Of course not.
Yeah, I don't really give a crap about all these straight-to-DVD movies. I've never seen one. Like the Bandcamp movies, never seen one.
They're better than 2 and 3 of American Pie.
It ain't saying much.
No, exactly.
True, true. But the last one... That wasn't... Was that Bandcamp? Bandcamp was the best of them. Not better than American Pie 1, but I just got Beta House in, and I'll be watching that. I love them.
Never seen any of those. Never will. I don't know. I don't ever get really exposed to those straight-to-DVD movies.
Did you watch all... I agree with you 100%. Dukes of Hazzard 2 or something. Not that I even saw the first one, but...
Isn't this like the third or fourth Bandcamp movie? Or, you know, I'm talking about American Pie straight-to-DVD movie.
American Pie 1, 2, and American Wedding was the third one. And then they had Naked Mile, Bandcamp, and now Beta House.
Jeez.
And I'm telling you, these straight-to-DVD ones are better than the last couple of theatrical
Eugene
ones.
Eugene Levy is in every one of them.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. Isn't Stifler's little brother in all of them, too?
It's a different Stifler in each one, in the two that I've seen.
I just know Eugene Levy. They got Eugene Levy for all of them.
Speaking of Stifler, where the heck is Sean William Scott?
I guess he's with his wife, kicking back.
Is he married?
Well, he must be doing something if he's not working.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I haven't seen him in movies in forever.
Yeah. You're looking him up now?
Yes.
And that's about the big
got
releases.
Four movies coming out.
Anything
that Mr. Heard? Woodcock. That should be coming out on DVD soon.
It is out on DVD.
Oh, we should see that. It's pretty good. Did you see it?
You know, that Billy just Bob looks Thornton like and kicking comedy. And screaming is what that reminds me of. I have no interest in seeing that.
Really? Well, yeah. An adult version. Because kicking and screaming is for little kids. I mean, it was about little kids, and it was kind of a family thing. This is not a family one.
But that was...
Kind of. It's all about family. This one's not going to be about lovey-dovey family stuff,
I'd like
stuff,
to think that family movies are a little bit good. Kicking and screaming was so disappointing.
Well, it's okay. It wasn't very good. It wasn't bad.
And Billy Bob Thornton, he needs to stay away from the comedy, too. The Bad Santa being an exception that I can remember.
Bad Santa's...
But
one of his best movies.
Dramas. I mean, he does really good movies. The Man Who Wasn't There, Coen Brothers movie.
Amazing.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's going to wrap up our show for this week. So, just remember the website, thecinemaniacs.com, or email us at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. And with that,
go see Old Boy.
Yes, or rent Old Boy. Rent it again and again, and then make all your friends watch it.
Do not rent Boogeyman.
If you happen to
Rubber Man 2, but rent Old Boy.
If you happen to pick up the Blu-ray of Old Boy, let us know how that worked out.
That's right.
Don't lick your DVDs either. Rental.
Yeah, you never know what those have been.
Or who's been on them.
Well, Old Boy would have the Meat Chalk Boy on there, right? He's on
there. Yeah, indeed. And that girl, who was pretty cute. Actually, both of them. So why don't you shut up?